Welcome to the Chase the Red Grape podcast. Our podcast covers a wide range of topics from health, wellness, food, fitness, and everything that life holds in between. We hope that you will join us on gaining both the male and female perspective on a range of topics and issues as we delve into talking about our life and yours and how we can all be healthier, happier people. A life worth living should be easy and fun, and that's exactly what the aim of our game is. This podcast will cover all issues relating to health, but please note that none of the information should be taken as medical advice. Hi all, and welcome back. I'm Jen, here with David.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about all about macros. So David and I counted macros for a little under a year, and we thought it was about time that we address some of the good and bad points of doing so and the lessons that we learned throughout. You may have read my posts on my experience of macro counting over on chaseofredgrape.com, but I really wanted to get chatting personally with you all on this, as it really does seem to be a real buzzword at the moment. Plus, you get to hear about David's experience too, which is always good because people vary and differ.
Differ. No two people are the same.
Oh dear. Everyone is different. No two people are the same. Yeah. If you get that, you're a superstar. Okay. First things first, though, let's check out this week's rants and raves. David, what's your El Ranto for this week?
I lost another pair of trousers to the Gaines monster. So, yeah, my legs don't fit in them anymore. Damn squats. But they were about 3 years old now, so...
Yeah, I know.
I should probably get some new ones. I'm running out. I'll buy t-shirts, like, willy-nilly. But... trousers I'm really picky on because, you know, they don't quite fit, or you have a giant waist and whatever. They're really hard.
Your bloody massive quads.
I don't fit.
You don't fit?
I'm not standard sized.
Oh dear.
Damn CrossFit.
Damn you, CrossFit, and your gains.
Should just wear like Lycra.
There you go, Lycra everything. We have come up with a solution, folks.
You just need like full suit trousers. They look like suit trousers, but they're actually just a onesie.
Oh dear. Oh yeah. Right, okay, you've put a lovely image in everybody's head there.
And rave is finding new places for coffee and inadvertently street art, which we did today.
Yeah.
In Frio, which we've been to a million times, and we still find new places, which is awesome.
Yeah, no, it's really cool.
And it was good coffee.
Yeah, it was good. It was good, good, good. You didn't ask me about my rant.
Well, I did both of mine, and then we're going into yours. I forgot the way to do it.
Rude. Anyway, my rant is the after effects of day drinking. Because yesterday we went to the Good Food and Wine Show, which was great, you know, and we had such a fab time. But, you know, there was...
wine.
A crap ton of wineries there. And... I swear to goodness, we maybe went and tasted, you know, a few wines at maybe half a dozen places. And we were like, right, okay, that's enough wine. That is enough wine. Let's go find something to eat. But if you'd been able to drink more, like, There must have been about 50, yeah.
Different and wineries. Some of them were like spirits and... a few beers, a few ciders.
Yeah.
Mainly wine.
Predominant. I think it's probably more than 50, you know.
So, it was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. And, yeah, I reckon they were probably carrying out a few people from there yesterday. But anyway, yeah. When you day drink, it's all fun and games at the start. And then, like, when you get to about dinner time and it's about 6 o'clock in the evening and your hangover is starting to come in.
I'm so tired, my head hurts.
Oh, come on. Normally I get to sleep over this.
But it wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad.
We went for a nap.
And nap, couple of paracetamol, you're do the trick.
They're so hardcore.
And my rave was, as David said, we were... doing a bit of exploring today. So one of the places that we have always wanted to go for breakfast at, we decided to go for breakfast. And, oh my God, it was so good. I had...
where was it?
It was Little Lefroy's in Fremantle, South Fremantle, to be precise. And I had, right, you guys, fruit toast, two slices of fruit toast that had actually been toasted really well. It's all like crunchy. Topped with sweetened ricotta cheese, a whole poached pear, drizzled with honey and thyme, and Yeah, I got a side of bacon because side of bacon, always.
That sweet savoury.
But, yeah, it made it that sweet savoury thing. But see that sweetened ricotta. Oh, my God. I love ricotta cheese. I love how much it can...
proper bacon. Oh, which is hard bacon. To come by here.
It was good bacon. So... I'm just like in heaven when I think back to that breakfast, and we will be going back there for sure, definitely.
Yeah.
It had to be my rave. There was just nothing else to like. That is just first and foremost in my mind right now. Yeah.
You're still lusting over the bacon.
Yeah.
You had to make that decision at the end because you got full, and it was like bacon or pear.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, I had like a slice of bacon left, half a pear left, and I was like. I have to make priorities here.
Yeah. It was when you were like, I might need to give you some of this bacon because I've got like 3 rashes. And then I was like, I already have 4. You can keep the bacon.
And I'm glad I didn't give you it.
Exactly. That would have been sad.
So that kind of leads on really well into talking about macros.
What the heck are the macros?
So, macros, you may have heard about them, you may have not. Macro counting is where you work out a set ratio of macronutrients. Which is what macros is short for, which is protein, carbohydrates and fat, which are based on your height, weight and activity level. So these macros should enable you to achieve your goals and allow you to live an optimal lifestyle based on your nutrition requirements. David and I are both CrossFit athletes and have participated in this experiment. I want to note that it was an experiment as we did not expect that this would be our lives forever. We never went in there intentionally thinking, right, this is going to be forever. This is going to be, you know, like some people do when they try diets and things like that. They go, oh yeah, you know, I can do this. We went in there going, right, this isn't going to be forever. This is an experiment we want to do on ourselves. And we did this because we wanted to dial in our nutrition in order to seek gains in performance at CrossFit. It was, nor would I ever recommend it be used for weight loss. I want to make that clear, first and foremost. It was not for weight loss, and I don't think anybody ever should use it for weight loss. It was for gains of performance. We also kept real food as the priority throughout, so I also want to note that it was not done if it fits your macros style. So if you don't know about that, that's fine. You don't really need It's not a way I would do it. If it fits your macros, tends to be, you know, just eat what you want as long as it fits your macronutrient profile.
It matched the macros, not necessarily the quality of food.
Yeah. So
the numbers work. As long as the numbers, yeah.
But we feel better eating real food, so that's what we were always going to do it as. So
you might, in that case, you may have a donut rather than a sweet potato. They both add up to the same numbers. Or whatever.
Yeah, but we would always... Yeah.
It's not the same quality.
So, like, we didn't go in there going, right, we're just going to eat crappy food and stuff like that. It's just little things that I kind of want to mention from the start because a lot of people have preconceived ideas about people who do macro counting and the kind of lifestyle they adopt from that. And I just want to point out that why we did it, the kind of foods that we were emphasizing on, and just to note that it was an experiment we were doing on ourselves to see if it affected our performance at all.
And I think also people have heard like lots of little bits, and it's kind of a bit all over the place, so
it might
be a bit confusing, so what the heck it
I think
really
I think I find that a lot of people have got opinions on it when they don't really know why people do it and what it entails. So we are also 6 months out of macro counting, so we can really see where it was beneficial and where it wasn't, you know, what we got out of it. Looking back on reflection, you know, what would we do again, what wouldn't we do again? And also, you know, what have we adopted? You know, how is life now 6 months out? We'll start with the positives because I do like to start like on a high. So the major gain from macro counting that I got personally actually had nothing to do with gains in performance, but it was I got my period back. I had lost my period since I was dealing with my eating disorder. It gone, and I was trying to work my way on getting it back. Literally 3 months into counting macros, I got it back, and a year and a half later, I'm now in a position where I'm back to a monthly cycle, which is like,
well, it's a sign that your body's working properly.
Yeah,
for women especially,
and that is just great, big, massive hip hip hooray. I'm working the way I should be now, you know. And yeah. That for me was just the most amazing thing. The reason why, it wasn't necessarily that I was counting macros. It was more that counting macros meant that I was finally eating enough food for my height, weight, and lifestyle, my activity level. So I was finally eating enough food. I realized that I needed more food.
Yeah.
I realized what portion sizes my food needed to be. And I really finally for once went, oh yeah, I am, you know, I'm a tall girl.
Yep.
You know, I've got an active lifestyle. Oh, I need to eat this amount of food. Okay. I'm eating this amount of food. Shock. My body rewards me for that. You know, it rewards me with more energy. It rewards me with getting my period back. It rewards me with healthy skin, healthy nails, hair, you know, feeling just so much better. So it was really good for pointing out to me what I needed. And then finally, the last like major gain from counting macros was I did see more gains at the gym. So,
but again, that's probably related to the other thing of you were fueling.
I was finally fueling myself, right? And that reflected in my strength at the gym. So so within the first like 3 to 6 months, that's when I really, like, my numbers just went, I rocketed. Like literally every time I could PR, I did PR.
Yeah.
And I remember some of the coaches like joking that, oh, that's, you know, David and Jen PRing again, and like, and it was. And then after that 6 month period, it kind of, you know, I was still progressing, but it was a bit more stagnant, and that was to be expected.
Yeah.
Because obviously your body gets that boost first and foremost, and then, you know, it gets used to that way, and you know, it kind of like tapers off. But even still now, even 6 months out, you know, of macro counting, you know, I'm still progressing.
It's yeah, just I wouldn't at say a slower it's rate. Not like you've plateaued or anything. No. It's just not that immediate, like, whoosh.
Yeah, but expect. I definitely saw more gains at the gym. So for me, they're the top three positive outcomes of macro counting. But what about you, David?
Well, I think because the whole point of going into it was to see if we could improve our performance and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I did see a big improvement there. I found that recovery was faster as well, was the main thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't get as sore or, you know, anything like that. So, and my body composition, like, totally changed. Well, not totally changed, but it did change because of it. And like you, I realized that I was not eating enough food or enough of the type of food I needed to mm-hmm. be. Like, we found that I was a lot more carb dependent than I realized.
Mm-hmm.
This took a long time. You know, we didn't work it out week one.
Yeah.
And that's just how my body functions. Everyone's a bit different. Some people, their fuel is from carbs, or some are from fat or whatever. It just seems to be the way that I'm kind of built. So that was a good thing to know for my knowledge of how I work best. And I think it was also like getting back into, we tried a few more different foods. And one of the random ones I rediscovered was potatoes.
Yeah.
Because we'd done the whole like paleo thing and you didn't do potatoes in paleo. Like I just kind of, okay. You
know. And I must note there, like obviously like potatoes are a really good like food source. And I kind of feel a bit bad here because I'm not a massive potato fan in general. Like, I'll have them. There's certain ways that I'll enjoy them, but I'm really not a massive fan of regular potatoes. I just didn't, like...
You didn't mind.
I didn't cook them because I just wasn't fussed by them. So it meant that you were kind of never getting potatoes because...
So I rediscovered that because it was a real easy way to bump up the carb numbers, mm-hmm. Which was great because... You know, I was always like, I don't, you know, you would say stuff about like, oh, comfort foods and stuff. And then I was like, I don't really have that. But then when I started having potatoes again, I was like, I think this might be my comfort food. Apart from boiled potatoes, because they're just rubbish. But like mashed potato, there you go. So that was quite nice to find, you know, find that again.
Yeah.
And it's just as simple as that. But it was just trying different things. So yeah, I think generally it just showed both of us that what you need to actually fuel... And I think that that's a big issue in general with a lot of, well, we'll say CrossFit people, that we do a lot of stuff and we don't realise it because part of us goes, oh, we're an athlete, but part of us goes, yeah, but I'm just a regular person that does, like, their day job and I just do CrossFit in the morning because whenever because mm-hmm. I enjoy it. And you forget that you have just done all that stuff. I mean, it doesn't have to just be CrossFit, whatever. And we don't fuel ourselves enough because the stuff that's rammed into your head is, don't eat too much. If you eat too much, you'll be, you know...
And there's so many myths surrounding, like, what you should eat pre and post workout and things like that. And then as a result, people don't end up, like, having the right things. And I think... For the most part, I think if you're doing CrossFit regularly, like we do, like 4 times a week, I think a lot of people don't realize how many carbs they need.
Well, that's also a thing because like full carbs are bad.
Yeah, well, I think because like paleo got brought into the CrossFit world, and then people were starting to go right, okay, like we'll eat lower carb and higher fat because that's what paleo is. Whereas that's not what paleo is. At all, it just happens to be what people start adopting when they start eating paleo. But paleo is not a low carb diet, it's just what ends up happening because people ditch the bread and the pasta
and don't replace it
with other dense carb sources. So they don't replace it with, you know, bananas, potatoes, sweet potatoes. I mean,
potentially rice,
dependent on where you sit on that on that fence, so people don't replace it, and then as a result they have less energy, and yeah, it's just a whole heap of issues there, but that's not what we're really talking about. But
the main plus was going, huh, this is what I need.
Yeah, I think out of the three, I mean, we ended up just having different sources of protein, not necessarily more protein.
I think we actually had less
protein
than what we were generally doing. Not a heap less.
Yeah, I think our portions of meat were always bigger than what we had when counting macros.
Just a balance.
Fats were just more like we had less fattier cuts of meat, but it was just proportioning out our fats dependent on like different meals. It wasn't necessarily that we went lower fat. I think we were just a bit more aware of where their fats were.
I think they were just spread out.
Yeah, and then with carbohydrates, like I definitely ate a lot more carbs, a lot more. And my body, like, went, yay, thank you very much, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm happy about that.
Been trying to tell you for years.
So that was the positives. And it may sound like it's all sunshine and roses, but there was definitely like negatives in macro counting. For me, the biggest negative was the maths. Oh my goodness me. I was just revolved around numbers like all day. I there's different ways you can do macros. You know, obviously we went with a company that give you individualized macros. That's the way you must do it. You must go with someone who will give you macros individual to who you are, because everyone is going to be different. I do not have the same macro numbers as someone who's listening who is 5'5", and you know, even if you have the same activity level as me, you know, we're gonna have different requirements.
No two people are the same.
And you were just surrounded by numbers all day. So you could go and use things like MyFitnessPal. The only problem with MyFitnessPal for getting the stats for the different macros from different foods is MyFitnessPal is populated by the people who use it.
It's like crowdsourced, yeah.
Yeah, so you can never be 100% accurate on those numbers.
You could put in apple and get 25 different
numbers for an apple.
So what do you do? Just pick the one that's best?
Yeah, well, I know people who just scroll around until they can find the one that's the least amount so they can eat more, and then that doesn't really...
It doesn't work, yeah.
Or on the other scale, they try and find the one that's the most so that they can eat less, because they're still in their head as less is more, you know. But so MyFitnessPal is really inaccurate. So what I did was I made a list of all the foods, because we tend to mostly eat like whole real foods, you know, a lot of like meats, fruits, vegetables, different fat sources that we use. I made a list of them all, and I made it, and I went and looked up the official macro stats for all of those foods. And yes, it took me a while. Yes, it was a lot of hard work, but I had the proper numbers there. And then anything that we buy that comes in a package, I kind of wrote down the notes from there. But I was glued to the scale, my calculator, and just constantly, oh, it was just so much math. And when I think back about it now, I'm like, it took up so much time.
It takes up a lot of time.
Also, because you've got a set macro level that you've got to hit each day, I did find that sometimes I was forcing myself to eat when I didn't want to. So I would be like, right, I've got to make up my macros, so I've got to eat this handful of this and, you know, X, Y, or Z. I've got to eat like a couple of dates because I've got to make up my carbs for the day. And sometimes that's fun because you're like, ooh, I never thought about having some like chocolate chips right now, but it fits my macros, so I'll go and have some chocolate chips right now. But sometimes you're just like, I cannot eat anything more, and you're telling me. You know, sometimes you had this whole plate of food that you had made up that had all the macros that you need, and you were just like, I've got to force this down, because if I want to meet my goals, then I need to make sure I'm having this level. And
I would also say, sorry, just jumping in there, it's not necessarily that it was always like too much food, but sometimes it wasn't necessarily the food you were fancying at the time. So you were like,
yeah, that's what I was a way to say.
You were like, oh, I need to have this yogurt, but I don't really want yogurt. I would like something else.
I want some chips, and I've got your yogurt. Okay. You know it.
So yeah, you kind of.
And then sometimes you were forcing food, but sometimes you were like, "I'm really hungry," and I'm like, "Well, if I eat something now, I can't have X or Y with my dinner."
It's a bit of a mind mess.
And also, like, you know, as you say, you kind of have to forego, what do I want? It's what have I got to have?
What do I need?
And that is no way to live, people. No way to live.
Yeah.
You should... I hate this term, eat intuitively, because, like, what the heck does that mean? But just... You should be able to eat what you want and be able to trust your body that
I think that's why it's good to do this kind of experiment, because you learn those things.
Yeah. Yeah. So the maths meant that the maths and all the counting and all the measuring meant that it was a real time drainer. It really took up so much time. We food prep anyway. That's what we do. So it didn't take up more time in terms of food prep, but the having to weigh absolutely everything within the food prep took up more time.
Yeah. And we eat the same stuff every week. So imagine if you were like doing different stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
like crazy.
You knew off the top of your head what certain things were. You just had to weigh it out.
And then finally, it was a real social downer counting macros because you find that you'd be invited to stuff and you'd be like, there's nothing that I can have there that would work out. Or you'd just be like, oh, it's not worth it. Like, because the type of personality I am, like, I would have felt like I 100% commit to something. And I would have felt like if I went out for dinner, I was like almost like failing in a way.
Well, the way your head works is if you'd done that, you would have just been like, ah, oh, what's the point? Like, what's the point of doing this if I'm just going to go out for dinner?
Yeah, so I just wouldn't go out for dinner. Or I would go out and I would be like, right, okay, in my head, I can have this or I can't have that. Or I've had this today, so I can't have that today. And so it was too much of a headache. So we both just said no to stuff. So we would say no to social engagement with other people. We weren't going out for lunch or dinner, just the two of us, because we were like, well, if we make it at home, we can work out the macros. Yeah.
As I say, that's why it can't be a forever thing.
Yeah, or it shouldn't be a forever thing. I know some people, like, a lot of people who do it over in the States just go, oh, well, my favourite chain restaurants have all the macros in MyFitnessPal, so I can just do it that way. But once again, the problem with MyFitnessPal is it isn't accurate. Also, you could...
You could
go to a chain restaurant and like the what it says in the stats, even the official stats from them, and what you get from the chef having prepared it, it'll be completely different.
That's your 100%. It depends how you want to play it. If you want to do it like 100% perfect, you can't do that. If you want to be like ballpark, then you could do that, but then you get the result.
That's just a prime example to me of why, you know, it's a good thing to do as an experiment, but to do it forever is a no-no, because, like, that is just not a way to live.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think the big issue that I had was I don't have the same mentality as you when it comes to 100%. I wanted to do it and I wanted to do it well, but... like, tracking's really boring. Like, you have to... like, you did all the numbers, so I was totally lazy on that point of view. But, like, you had to remember to plug it into the app we had and make sure you did it and, you know, you came up with little red or green numbers if you'd done well, which felt a little bit bizarre. And it's, you know, you just kind of... every day you were working, like, oh, did I manage to make it? And that was really tough. And it was... you know, I had times when it was like, oh, it's so-and-so's birthday or so-and-so's leaving due at work. Are you coming out for a drink? And it's like, oh, what are the stats in a pint of cider? It's like, really? Really? Or a coffee.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I better just have a black one. And I actually, the main struggle that I had was, in the course of the year, your stats got updated depending on what you were saying. So like you would give them feedback and they'd go, okay, we'll adjust it here or there or whatever. And I kept constantly being hungry.
Mm.
So I was eating what felt like quite a lot of food. And I was still hungry sometimes. And that felt really bad because I'm like, no, but the stats are telling me I shouldn't be. So what's wrong? Is it the stats? Is it me? Is it the food? Like, what's wrong? So then I felt bad for going, like, it wasn't just like, oh, I'm a bit peckish. It was like, I am starving.
And your numbers kept on being put up and put up and put up. But you were actually leaning out more and more and more.
Yeah.
So that was great. Like, if you're like, oh, yeah, I can see a visible six-pack. But you were like, yeah, but I can also see my bones starting as well. And that's not the look I want.
And I think partly that may have been because the program we were doing was a remote program. So you just sent them an email and, you know, messages that way and like Facebook. like direct message stuff rather than them, you know, you going to see a physical person and being able to chat it through. Mm. I don't know, maybe that might have been better.
Maybe. I don't know. I think I think your body just responded that way to being a bit more strict with your diet. I think aesthetically you could have been like, oh, I look great and I look ripped, because you did. You look really like shredded and ripped. And by the way, I'm doing those little like ear quotation thingies.
Dr. Evil's tail.
But a laser.
Did not have laser.
But like you weren't happy, yeah, and yeah. It got to the point where I was like, I don't think this is actually a good thing for you anymore, David, because you're starting to look a little bit too lean and you're starting to not look like a CrossFitter, you're starting to look like a runner, someone who does endurance. And I'm like, I don't think that's really the kind of, like, as yeah, I said but... to you, if you wanted to go into that whole bodybuilding world, like, you probably have the right metabolism yeah. for it.
But at the end of the day, I didn't really care because I was just going, I'm hungry, I'm bloody yeah. hungry. So that was a bit rubbish for me. But yeah, so that was it for me.
So where are we now? What have we learned and how do we implement what we have learned into a regular lifestyle? I recently did a post on that on my recent 5 top tips on a Tuesday. So check that out for more information. That was dated the 11th of July. If you go on the website and click on 5 top tips on a Tuesday, you'll see a lesson learned. But I think when people finish this kind of experiment or program or whatever, there's that initial thought that you're just going to go nuts and eat everything in sight. And I think some personalities would.
Yeah, yeah, I think you would know.
But I think you know within yourself, like, whether you're that type of person or you're not. But, you know, we didn't. In fact, the day we stopped counting, we were just like, all right, okay. And we just kind of carried on, like, eating very similar.
Yeah.
We just weren't kind of putting in the numbers into
when did we finish? Was it around Christmas?
Yeah.
So that was the only difference. It was just like around Christmas.
Yeah. So I think for me, the main lesson I learned was knowing what I need, knowing how much food I need to fuel. So I learned what a portion size should be for me. And that's the way I work it now. So, you know, we still meal plan our week. We still do food prep. We eat some things that are very similar, some things that are completely different. But I know what I need. I know how to structure my meal. I know, like how much of X, Y, or Z I should have. I know that if I'm having like oats, for example, for breakfast, I know what a good portion size is for me. And I do still use my scale to weigh that out because I'm like, well, that's the perfect amount for me. So I'll do that. Hmm. But at the same time, if I'm, you know, having like, if I want to snack on an apple, I'm not weighing the apple. I'm just going, yep, no, that size yeah. I'll do. And I'm, you know, so.
And also when we were away, you often didn't have access to scales. So you could just be like, yeah, that looks.
Yeah. About. Like a kind of. Like, I don't really need to, like, weigh it anymore because I kind of know from eyesight what's enough. But I still do just to help me. But I, like, it's not because I need that macros. It's just because I know that that helps me with portion sizes. And I think when you realise what portion size you need of things, I think that's very empowering because... Yeah. I'm like, well, I know I can fuel myself right no matter what I want to eat at the time.
And I think actually for us, the scales actually help us to make sure we're not underdoing it. Mm-hmm. I think some people think the scales would be like, it's to make sure you don't like tip a whole bag of chips into a bowl. But it's actually, you'll be surprised if you're like, oh yeah, that looks about right. And then you put it on the scale and you're like, oh, I'm under by, you know, 20%. Oops.
Yeah. I think like... That's especially the case for like things like if I want to have something with loads of veggies in it, say for example, like I make a batch of cauliflower rice, you know, sometimes I see people making cauliflower rice and I'm like, do you have any idea how much you need of that in order to make it like an actual meal that will sustain you?
Yeah.
I'm like, you need like a good 300 grams of that per person. And
just like a whole cauliflower.
And I don't think, like, from doing macros, I realised that that's how much I need. So if I'm going to make something with cauliflower rice, that's how much cauliflower rice I'm going to have. And I end up finishing the meal satisfied and full. Yeah. And, you know, that's great. And I also know that, like, if I don't have some sort of fat within my meal, then I'm going to be hungry, like, an hour later. So it's... And I know that, for example, like, if I want, like, tahini on something, I know that, like, 10 grams of tahini, like, drizzled over the top of something is all I need and want, and it tastes good, like, that way, but I don't need any more, but I also shouldn't have any less. So yeah, it works both ways. But I think, like, not stressing over the minutiae of food. You know, I had that breakfast this morning that I talked about, and, you know, it wasn't very high in protein, but it was probably really high in carbs and fat. When I think about it, but so what? I don't need to stress over the minutia. It was one breakfast throughout my week. I don't need to stress about it. That I really, really enjoyed, and it's good for my head. So it's exactly what I needed.
Mm.
Because sometimes it's not just what your body needs for fuel, it's what your mind needs for just going out and enjoying breakfast and having life, you know. I think now I'm kind of, you know, I've learned from macros, you know, I know, like, the who, what, whys and whens of what I need to eat. And now I have to force myself to listen to my gut more. What does my gut want? What does my tummy want to eat? What's it telling me? And I'm forced to listen to that, and that's a good thing.
That's it for me. I think that by doing the experiment, you pick up on the body signals. Like, I know how I feel if I have not had so many carbs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, genuinely, I have a feeling I get really hot randomly.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, oh, I need to grab something. Like, today, I had that a little bit, and we were in the market, and I was just like, oh, I'll just grab a banana. Cool. Done.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And you just pick up on... So, by putting in place something that made you eat a certain way, you can then work out what your body is actually asking you for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that without that, people are, and we were like that, people are often worried that the signal they're getting is bad. You know, you get, your brain's trying to just tell you, your body's trying to tell you, like, I need a bit more protein, but you're hearing that as ice cream. I don't know.
Yeah.
And you're going, oh, no, I shouldn't have ice cream because that's wrong. But actually, your body's not telling you for ice cream. It's just going, this is what I need. And I think finding out different ways to do that was really interesting. And that's the thing. It was an interesting experiment.
Yeah.
And I think we both got to the point where we were like, okay, it's done what it needed to do. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I find it crazy that the program we were on, you saw stuff on Facebook. I actually asked the question at one point about if it was, do people think this is sustainable? Because I was intrigued to know what people thought, and I got a bit of a backlash from it.
Mm.
And they were like, of course it is, you can do this forever. It's so, like, it's so great and everything. And I'm like, really? You're going to do this when you're 75 years old? Really?
Yeah, and I think it might be the best thing for your body to live a healthy lifestyle, if you really want to think about that, like making sure that you've got the exact macronutrient profile for, you know, your height, weight, and activity level. But if you think about it, like, first of all, it completely ignores the micronutrition.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about your vitamins and your nutrients and the minerals that your body needs to survive. You know, there are genuinely people out there who will have a donut over a sweet potato.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're completely ignoring that end of the scale, but you're also ignoring the fact that our body is equipped with the material to be able to tell us what we need at any given time. Yeah. And I think we have lost that. I think that we don't trust it anymore. Yeah, and I think it's because we've got that, because we've got access to food, like, everywhere. Anytime, anywhere. It's like, there's just adverts for food everywhere. There's, you know, the ability to buy food everywhere. So I think you know, as a whole, people, some people have lost the ability to go, right, what do I need? And be able to trust that feeling.
Yeah.
Because they're
yeah.
just like, do I actually need something right now? Or is it just because I've seen an advert for a burger that I suddenly want a burger because I'm like, ooh, burger. You know, or do I need a burger? You know, a burger. But do you know what I mean? And I think a lot of people don't know whether or not they can trust it.
So they don't.
But I think that was where it was quite good, because you suddenly learn that kind of, what do I need?
Yeah.
And you can trust the signals again.
And also, I would point out, like, we did one program and they said, right now, at this snapshot in time, these are your numbers, these are my numbers. If we'd gone to somebody else and given them exact same information, they would have gone, oh, these are your numbers, these are our numbers. Like, this is not an exact science.
No.
So even within this...
And our numbers were tweaked constantly, you know.
So you might tweak it every 2-3 months, or just how someone else has a different emphasis on their, you know, oh, well, we believe this or that. And there is no science, because the body is so complex, it actually can't be narrowed down to
yeah,
three numbers
and
on a page.
And I think, unlike most diet, if you want to call it a diet...
eating regimes.
Yeah, you know, it's something that you do need to commit to for a significant period of time, simply because of that fact. Like, you could be on it for 2 months and then you reevaluate it and you're like, no, okay, we need to tweak here and we need to tweak there, because obviously your body is more fat dependent, or your body is more carb dependent, or maybe let's like up your protein slightly, or, you know, so you need to give it time, because you need to figure out where that balance lies.
And allow your body to adapt as well.
But if you want to try macro counting and you have any questions, please email chasetheredgrape@outlook.com. It can be a question for either myself or for David. And if you've listened to this and you want to run a mile from it, I don't blame you either. You know, I don't blame you if you've listened to this and you're just like,
this
no, I'm not doing that. It can help you if you want to hone in on your training. But if this is not your focus, then I really would think twice. You know, if you are not someone who sees exercise as training, if you're not someone who's looking to see progress or gains in the particular sport you're doing, you know, if you just do exercise for fun and to keep healthy, you know, you do not need to macro count for this. You maybe just need to, you know, it's quite extreme. Unless you've got a specific goal in mind that is performance based.
Yeah, and as you said at the start, definitely not a weight loss thing, because
it's just not a good headspace. And I also want to add, even if you do fancy giving it a shot, don't expect to see much progress unless you have your sleep and stress levels in check. These affect your body, its composition, and your progress much more than you would think. So don't even start looking at this until you've got your sleep and stress levels in check, because they are more impactive, believe me. So check out Chase the Red Grape on all the social media channels, and if you have time, leave us a review, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a podcast. Oh, and just a reminder that you can like Chase the Red Grape over on Facebook, that way you'll always know when a podcast is up. But you can also see when I post something new on the website. And if Instagram is more your thing, then you can find us there too. But we will see you all next week for more fun chat and discussion. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.